I want to just flick a few slides past you, and I want you to tell me the first words that come in your head. I don't want you to think about this, okay? I want you to just relate viscerally. Just say what you want to say. And there's a green light. Whatever you say, no one can hold it against you. Okay. So, what words come in your mind when you see this woman?
Bimbo with a sugar daddy.
Keep going. Next one. Tell me about his character.
He's on drugs.
Next one. Her character.
Happy.
Next one. What words come to your mind?
Where am I going?
What else?
Hillsong.
Oh, that's right. Too quick. Hillsong. Yes. Okay. Back there. That one there. What words come to your mind?
Sorrow.
What's that one there? What words? Okay. Next one. Describe the person who lives in this house.
Godly.
Godly man.
Rich.
Alcoholic. Lawyer. What about this house? Who lives there?
Elderly.
Yeah, I wish. Next one. What's his character? Corrupt. Who said that? What's his character? Corrupt. Next one. What words come to your mind? Queer. Strange. Next one. Child molester. What words come to your mind? Dead. Next one. What words come to your mind?
Hobo.
Hey? What words come to your mind? Alcoholic, did you say? Oppressed?
Corrupt.
Next. What words come to your mind? Hey? Hippie. Okay. What words come to your mind? Cricket. Yeah, good one. What words come to your mind, particularly the top one? Irresponsible. What words? Okay, stop there. Now, we are used to as a society of making quick judgments, aren't we? And I can see that you are very good at making quick judgments. I've led you in a trap. We can be really hard on other people, can't we? And often we don't give people the benefit of the doubt. We just give it a good spin and put the worst possible spin. We condemn them. And we can be tempted to condemn them on non-issues, like the clothing they wear, or how tidy their home is, or how big their home is, or the type of car they drive, or the amount of money they've got or earn. And when we don't understand something about someone, we can be even quicker to judge, like depression. Oh, it's all in their head. Or chronic fatigue syndrome. You know, when I used to work in accident emergency, I used to say, you know, all they need is a good kick and get them out and moving. And then guess what? You know, guess who picks it up? Our culture is quick to judge. We are quick to heap scorn on people. You know, the programs like ACA, Current Affair, it seems to me that's all they are, making quick judgments about things that no one understands. Radio talkback, uninformed judgments just proliferate, don't they? And we can bring this harsh, critical spirit into our homes and into our churches. And we can take the life out of our spouses by our harsh and critical tongues, can't we, men? And we can crush our kids with our words, harsh, critical words like, you're lazy, you're overweight, you need to try a little bit harder. We embitter them really quickly. And we can pull one another down with ignorant, merciless words like, it's all in your head, can't we? Superficial and wrong judgments that we rush to because, well, we just like it. We just love to judge. And Proverbs 12:18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword. And swords kill people. If you want to kill people, metaphorically that is, at home or at your workplace or here at church, then let your words be reckless. Let your judgments flow from your lips. Friends, we need to change the way we relate to one another, especially the way we judge one another. The natural way is not the right way. The way you have grown up is not the right way. The natural way will destroy your relationships. It will destroy your friendships. And as we look at this passage tonight, we're going to look at seven little tips, seven strategies that Jesus gives us to change the way we relate to one another. And the first one, it's actually not picked up in the passage. I've kind of made this first one up. The first one is you've got to recognise pride. You know, the most important thing to understand about the word pride is the middle letter, I. The middle letter is I, because it's all about me. It's all about I. And you don't have to be the kind of boastful, I'm a great kind of person to be full of pride. You can be quite a modest kind of a person. And there are some classic signs. There are some classic signs that you are full of pride. And do you know one of the first ones? You can be quick to judge on superficials. Quick to judge on the kind of car someone drives. On the kind of clothes someone wears. Look at what he's drinking. How could he? He's a Christian. Look how ungodly she is. She's got a cigarette in her fingers. Wow, look at your new TV. You must be really rich. How can a Christian have a boat? I mean, he obviously doesn't give 10% of his income, like I do. We can be really quick to judge on superficials. You know, another sign that we are filled with pride is that we don't talk to God. We don't ask Him for anything because we're happy with the way we are. And when we do ask, we have the kind of Abba prayers, you know. Gimme, 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 a man after midnight. They're all about, Lord, give me, because it's all about me. And another sign that we can be filled with pride is that we don't serve others. We don't put ourselves out for anybody. We are unwilling to do menial tasks like pick up the rubbish or stack chairs. I don't put myself out for anybody. I'm filled with myself. Another sign that we can be filled with pride is that we have a hierarchy of sin. You know, like we have a feeling of moral superiority to others. How could they do that? Such animals. Idiots. I could never, ever do that. And another sign that we are filled with pride is that we can be people who overemphasize justice. It wouldn't be right to let them off. We need to give them what they deserve. They need to pay for what they have done. All signs that we can be filled with pride. Measure yourself. How are you going there? Friends, I don't think anyone wants to be that kind of a person, do they? That person will be characterized by poor relationships. They will not be fun to be around. Everything is black and white to people who are filled with pride. And they are frozen emotionally. They repress other people's feelings and they themselves are unable to cope with their own. And they don't actually engage with anyone else because they are so filled with self. And today, Jesus is teaching us a very different way to relate to other people. A way that if you live it out, you'll be radically different to this kind of a person. You'll be a breath of fresh air rather than this hot wind who destroys other people. You'll produce meaningful, fruitful relationships, long-lasting. And Jesus has this advice. There's no finer theologian than Michael Jackson on Take a Look in the Mirror. He's a man who's been there. He knows what it's all about. Have a listen to what he says. Keep going. Turn it up around. If you want to get up and sing it, you can sing it. Come on, there's a microphone here for you. Your chance. Come on up. Listen to what he says. It's gonna feel real good. A bit louder. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right.
See the kids in the street. Not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see their need? The summer's disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man sword. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why I want you to know I'm starting with that man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways, and no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change.
Thank you. It's a beautiful beautiful song, isn't it, by Michael Jackson? A man who has been endlessly judged. Endlessly judged. I don't claim to be a fan. I'm just telling you that. Michael Jackson says, take a look in the mirror if you want to change the world. And Jesus, a better theologian, says in verse 3, why you look at the sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? If you want to change the world, the first thing you've got to do is take a look in the mirror. Begin with yourself. In fact, the only person you can change is yourself. You can help other people, but you can't change other people. The only one you can change is yourself. And when you go to take a speck out of someone's eye, have a decent look in the mirror, not to reshape your beautiful hair locks. Don't ignore the log in your own eye. Jesus is saying hypocrisy is when you say there's something wrong in someone else's life, but you're unable or unwilling to admit that it's in your own life. Gee, look at that car. They can't be very generous when you are not very generous. How could he ruin his body with cigarettes when you pour Coke and chocolate and chips down the gullet like no other business? Jesus says, take a look in the mirror before you change anyone else. And the second thing he says is demonstrate integrity. In verse 5 he says, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly enough to just take the speck from your brother's eye. You know, this integrity issue is so important. On the international level, Australia lacks integrity. Let me say it. As a South African, Australia lacks integrity. You know, the world sanctioned against South Africa in the 1970s and 80s, before many of you were born, I know. But I'm still heard about it. But, you know, it was because of the apartheid, and they were discriminating against blacks and hurting them and things like that. So they stopped trading, they stopped sporting, total lockdown of South Africa. Yes, at the same time, Russia invades Afghanistan and nothing is done. At the same time, Indonesia invades East Timor and kills thousands, hundreds of thousands, and nothing is done. A few years ago, the Serbs walked into Srebrenica and killed hundreds of thousands, I think, of Muslims, and nothing was done. And Rwanda, recent history, the enormous bloodshed that took part there, nothing was done. And today, Zimbabwe, a madman called Mugabe, is riding off and killing many thousands of people this very minute, and nothing is being done. There is a lack of integrity at an international level. And, you know, we know it too with the weapons of mass destruction, don't we? We walk into a country, we say you've got it, but yet Pakistan, India, Israel, many other countries have weapons of mass destruction, and nothing is done to them. Integrity means looking at your own life first, removing the log from your own eye, and stopping thinking that you are better than others. It's seeing the fault in someone else, it's seeing the speck in their eye, but then asking yourself, is there something in my own life that I need to look at? You know, might be an example like, you know, these people are really unfriendly to me. But maybe it's you that are unfriendly. Maybe it's something about you that needs to change. When you see the fault in others, if you have integrity, take a look in the mirror and see if there's something about you that needs to change. And the next thing Jesus says is overflow with mercy. In verse 5 he says, remove the speck from your brother's eye. You see, mercy is removing the speck from your brother's or sister's eye. Mercy is not condemning them for having a speck in their eye. It's removing the speck from their eye. It's very different. It's not condemning them for having a speck there. It's going and taking and relieving them from the distress of the speck in the eye. Instead of condemning, we seek to relieve the pain and the distress that they are under, to help them with their difficulty. You know, it doesn't help anybody to stand on the sideline and criticize them by saying things like, you are selfish, you are a pig, no one is helped. Instead, help them, go to them and relieve their distress. Overflow with mercy and good deeds, Jesus would say, because that's how God has treated you. You know, God didn't just stand on the sideline and throw condemnation at you, but he has overflown with mercy to the way he has treated us all, hasn't he? You know, in Luke 6:36, Jesus says this. He says, God is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. And I don't know about you, but I struggle to be kind to the wicked. But I really, really, really struggle to be kind to ungrateful people. Well, God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. And he says, be merciful, just as your heavenly Father is merciful to the wicked and the ungrateful. You know, doesn't it overwhelm you sometimes when you realize how kind God has been to you? We are sinners. We deserve nothing. And yet he has poured his mercy out in our lives. He has taken away our sins. He has forgiven us. And what he has given us instead is precious. He has given us a life of forgiveness now and a life in eternity in a new creation where we will live with him as we are meant to live. It is an incredible and undeserved mercy that God has shown each one of us. And God says to you, I want you to show mercy just as has been shown to you. When you see your brother or sister sin, you know, you need to realize that there are a few things that have happened. First, you know, you don't know how hard they have tried to stop from sinning. So don't judge them. You don't know, secondly, the power or the forces that have been assailing them for years and years. You don't know what their background is. So don't judge them. And the third thing you don't know is you don't know what you would have done if you had grown up in the same circumstances. So don't judge them. Show mercy, practical mercy. Because Jesus says at the end of this verse, in verse 12, he says, in everything you do, do to others as you would have them do to you if you were in the same circumstance. For this sums up the whole Old Testament, the law and the prophets. And then the next thing Jesus says is let God be the judge. You know, you have to make a really, really important decision that when you do see a speck in your brother or sister's eye, you need to make a decision to leave the judgment to God. That's his job. You know, in Romans 2:16 it says there, the day will surely come when at God's command Jesus Christ will judge the secret lives of everyone, their inmost thoughts and motives. He will do it. He will judge the secret lives of everyone, their thoughts and motives. And so I've got to practice what Romans 12 says, and that is leave room for God's wrath. He is the one who would judge. I don't have to do it. And I think what tends to happen is that we figure that we can't trust God to be the judge. And so I've got to punish them first before they get to God, just in case God doesn't do a good job on them. And so I'm going to give them the full works, just in case God doesn't know what to do. Look at Romans 2:16 again. It says, God will judge the secret lives of everyone, their inmost thoughts and their motives. I can't do that, and you can't do that. I'll be wrong about your motives and inmost thoughts, and so will you be. So leave it in the hands of God. It is vital that you let God be the judge. You know, because it's vital, because look what verse 2 says. He says, Jesus says, in the same way that you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use, you will be measured to you. It will be measured to you. As you judge, you will be judged. Now this leaves us with a big question. What are we to do if a brother sins against us? What are we to do? If we see a brother do something wrong or hurt someone else or you, do we just let it go? Do we do nothing? Well, no. The first thing we do is we take a look in the mirror. Take Michael Jackson's advice. Then we remove the log. Then we overflow with mercy. Then we remember that God is the ultimate judge. And then we judge. You see, in John 7:24, Jesus says there, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So we are not to judge according to appearances, according to the superficial things, but we are to judge according to righteous judgment. There is a right judgment. And so if a brother or sister sins against you, if it's an area of sin, you know, not just personal judgment like what kind of clothes they like or what kind of food they eat or what kind of car they drive, we're not just to leave it, but we are to judge righteously. Now the question is, how do we do that? How do we judge righteously? Well, Jesus has this advice a bit further on in Matthew 18. This is what Jesus says. Pick it up on the board or on your bulletin. Jesus says this. This is how you judge. He says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you've won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen, even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Do you see what verse 15 says? If a brother has sinned against you, what do? You go and show. Let me say, you cannot go and show a brother his sin if he is not with you. You need to go to him. And you need to show him what he has done. And you cannot go to your brother or sister with SMS. SMS is not going and showing your brother his sin. And nor is email going and showing your brother his sin. Jesus didn't say, send an email. He said, go and show. And he didn't say, pick up the phone. He said, go and show. Go and show them. Do not gossip. There is no place for sitting around and talking with others about a brother's faults. And then he says, do not wait for them to come to you. He says, you go and show. You initiate it. And you know what my experience is? That most things, 99% of things, are solved by this simple step of going and showing. And if you live like this, you will stand out like a beacon. You'll be like the Norahead lighthouse. You'll be so different to the darkness around you. Because what everyone else does is they send an SMS. They send out an email. They sit around and gossip. But Jesus says, go and show. your brother. You initiate it. Don't wait for them to come to you. And when you go and show, the aim is not to score points, but the aim is to clarify the issues and to seek to convict them of their sin, to win them over so that the relationship is restored. You are not there to drive them into the ground. You are there to restore the relationship so the friendship and the love is back as it should be. And he says there, if you are unable to solve the problem, take a witness. Again, to win them over. That's how we should go to our brothers and sisters who sin against you. That's how we judge righteously. That's how we judge. You go and you show. And we aim to heal and restore that relationship. Look, let me say this. Let me be a bit even tougher. If you're not willing to do that, then you simply need to drop the issue. If you're not willing to go to a brother or sister and show them what they have done, then the only option you have is to drop it and leave it. You do not have an option to talk about it with other people, but to go and show. Jesus is saying it's not an option to simply condemn a brother or talk about it with others, to gossip, but to go to them and love them, and to seek to restore that relationship. Otherwise, drop it. The next thing Jesus says to us, what we need to do, where we need to go, is to go to God. Where do we get the power to be this kind of a person? I think to be this kind of lighthouse takes a heck of a lot of power. And Jesus says, if you're going to have the power to be that kind of a person, you're going to have to go to God. Because you're going to be frustrated by your shortcomings. You're not going to have the power to do that by yourself. And let me say, I am well and truly versed with my lack of power to live how I want to live. I'll tell you an incident. When I was at Moore College, I used to ride my bike with Dave. I was at Moore College with Dave. I used to ride my bike to university, to college. And sometimes I walk as well. But anyway, this day I was riding along. And this lady pulled out and cut me off. And, I cycled up next to her and I said, that was a bit rude. And she started screaming at me. And I thought, I made a few judgments very quickly. I thought, you're an idiot. And I'm going to show you that you're an idiot. And so I need to teach you a lesson to stop being an idiot. And, she's sitting there in her car screaming at me with the two little kids in the back seat. And so I get her aerial on her car, and I make origami of it, basically. I turn into a nice little shape. I thought she'd appreciate that. I made judgments, you see, and I acted on my judgments. And, what ensued then was, she grabs the crook block from the seat next to her and exits the car. And so I'm back on my bike, heading down Gardner's Road with peak hour traffic next to me. She's back in her car, chasing after me, and for the next 5 or 10 minutes, she's trying to get ahead of me to stop the car so she can crook lock me over the head. You see, I made judgments, and my judgments led to consequences. Well, eventually I cut across 4 lanes of traffic, peak hour traffic, and I got away from this mad woman. And I resolved at that point, I needed to change. And I needed to ask God to help me to change because I was too good at judging people and I was too good at acting on my judgments. And so I asked God, and I asked God for months to change me and make me a different person. I asked Him for years, and I still do. And I have changed. I am not the man I used to be. Jesus is saying very, very pointedly, listen very carefully what he says. If you want to change, you've got to keep asking him. Look what he says in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? What are you to do if you want to change? To stop being such a judgmental person? Ask, seek, and knock. We're to ask God to change us. Do you notice the progression, the intensity there? We're to ask with our voice. Then we're to seek with our eyes. And then we're to knock with our bodies. We will not give up. God, I want you to change me. Will you change me? You know, this is so important. These characteristics that we want, not to be someone who's a judge, who judges others harshly, you will not get them by sheer effort. You will not get them by trying yourself. You have to ask God. You have to seek Him and knock. And you need to keep on doing that. You will not do it with your own effort. And so we should come to Him asking, seeking, and knocking. Do you do that? Do you ask God daily to change you, to make you someone who is not so judgmental? You can't do it yourself. You can't. You cannot do it yourself. We have a Father, though, who loves to give good gifts. And not only is He able, but He is willing. So ask Him. We need to ask God to change us. So pray for yourself. Meet with someone else and ask them to pray for you. In your small groups, pray, ask people to pray for you. You know, don't just share nothing points. Say, look, this is what I'm really struggling with. Will you pray for me that God will change me? You know, I figure a lot of us don't change, and I don't change because I simply don't ask. I simply just try and do it on my own effort. Do you want to change the way you relate to others? Look at what Jesus says to us today. Recognize your pride. Then take a good long look in the mirror. Then demonstrate integrity by doing something about the log in your own eye. Then overflow with mercy as you take the speck from your brother's eye or sister's. Then let God be the judge. Let Him do His job. He loves doing His job. Then go to your brother. Go. Go and show. And then go to God and ask Him to change you. Let me ask us. Let me ask Him now to change each one of us. Let me pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, we are people who love to judge. And we are sorry about that. We don't like it about ourselves. We wish it weren't the case. So please work in our heads and our hearts to make us people who are slow to judge, who let You be the judge. But when a brother or sister sins against us, may we not be harsh with them, Lord. But may we take a good long look in the mirror, and then may we go and show. May we seek to restore the relationship, to build the trust and the friendship that was there before. May we seek to do all of this for Your glory. Amen.